Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, April the 28th, 2026. Last Tuesday in the month of April, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you'd like to call in on any of the subjects we have been talking about this morning, 1 week away from primary day next Tuesday, here in Ohio. Won't that be interesting? A lot of primaries on the ballot. The Democratic Party's got a few statewide. The Republican Party's got a primary in just about every race statewide, except the state Senate, or the Senate race, I should say, with John Husted. All kinds of stuff going on there. Certainly things going on locally. You know, I saw this yesterday. Now, I'm not saying that this was put out by the Casey Putch campaign, because I don't believe it was. Maybe we'll find out differently as we go on down the road. But when I saw this last night, I was kind of shocked, because it was happening on one of the Casey Putch for Governor web pages. And the conversation was, somebody had contacted Secretary of State Frank LaRose, and they had asked, essentially, if Vivek Ramaswamy was allowed to be on the ballot. Basically, they were questioning his citizenship. Now, Frank LaRose, they showed the response from Frank LaRose's office, which essentially was, yes, he meets all the qualifications to be on the ballot. But what, now, see, here we go again. What is that? Because do people really believe that Vivek Ramaswamy was not born in America? I guess would be the idea here. You know, I'm starting to wonder as time goes along. And I think I said this yesterday. I was reading an article over the weekend that talked about Vivek Ramaswamy losing some ground in this primary that he's in, this Republican primary. Now, he's still heavily favored to win, but that he is losing some ground. Now, why is Ramaswamy losing ground? And what is this question about, is he born in America, that actually went to Frank LaRose's office? Because, again, I don't think this has anything to do with Ramaswamy's policies. I don't think this has anything to do with where his money came from. So why are people now questioning his citizenship? You know, haven't we seen this before? Isn't this a movie that we have seen before? And again, I do not like racism. I think racism is awful, no matter who it's done to. But for people who keep acting as if there is no racism involved in the decline of Vivek Ramaswamy's popularity, I just don't see that. And when I see people on a Casey Putch webpage who have emailed the Secretary of State making sure that Ramaswamy is qualified to run for governor, you know, I don't know what you want to call that. I'm not going to say that that's out-and-out racism, but again, I don't know what that has to do with a Ramaswamy policy. I don't know what that has to do with his attitude. I don't know. And the whole attitude thing, I'm telling you, I get more and more confused as time goes along. Because I don't know what Vivek Ramaswamy's our attitude is. I have interviewed him. He was fine. I don't. If he had been a nasty person, I think it would stick out in my mind. I don't remember him being a nasty person. I don't remember him saying anything that was all... I don't remember... I don't know. The attitude thing is very strange to me. This, are you able to run for governor in Ohio? That's very strange to me. You know, here is the issue. When Putsch comes on and says, I don't denounce anti-Semitism, I don't denounce racism. Now, he can have his own reasons for doing that, but it does seem to rile up the people who have a problem with Vivek Ramaswamy's race or who might be anti-Semitic. And apparently there's a big anti-Semitic turn going on in this country right now. We've talked about it many times on this show. So if anybody's got any thoughts on this or anything that went on at City Council last night, feel free to give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Did anybody else see this thing? Or am I the only one who saw this thing about is Vivek Ramaswamy able to run for governor? I can't believe that it has gotten to that level. And again, I'm not saying this is being done by the Putsch campaign. I'm saying that somebody on the webpage posted this, and it was left up there with Secretary of State Frank LaRose's response. And Frank LaRose's response was, yes, he's qualified to run for governor. So here we are. Again, as we go down the road. Okay, so those are the city council issues. And again, I just want to say again, I don't know that a whole lot of people are against a Dollar General store in this particular area across from Logan Tire. I don't know that a whole lot of people are against that. You know, people will probably like it. People like new stuff. People like things opening up in neighborhoods that they have not seen before. But I think it's just the process right now is what people are upset about. And I wonder if there's a way that somebody could come in and perform this soil test, like the EPA or the health department, before the land was annexed. You know, I a lot of money changing hands here. And if this is bad land that they cannot build on, well, maybe the city would not want it annexed, which is the question we're having right now. Who knows? Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if you have anything on your mind. And again, I think we're having two separate conversations here. Should they build a store there? I would guess if there was no question about this land that there would not be a big question about this. And that people would be more or less fine with a store being built there. I there might be a few complaints here and there, but I don't think they would be huge complaints or huge concerns. But we'd have to see as we go on down the line. Now, as far as this Fourth Ward City Council seat, I think it is interesting. This has almost turned into a nonpartisan issue on the whole. All right, go ahead, caller.
I want to throw this monkey wrench in the land situation,
okay,
too. The whole tire grant cleanup thing. We were told last night it was probably because of mosquitoes. I looked the grant up. That's not what the grant was for. I'm not getting into what the grant was for right now. However, those tires have been there for a decade. Why all of a sudden, now that someone that is affiliated with Sean Barr wants to sell it to Dollar General, do they seek out a grant and clean up the land? Why now? Why couldn't we get it done 5 years ago? Mosquitoes were a problem then, too.
But the grant reason is listed.
The grant reason is called Shine a Light on Something, and it's supposed to be the cut. To long story short, think of the neighborhood house that the person died 30 years ago and no one's ever done anything to it. And that's where this happens in my neighborhood anyway, where the grass gets overgrown and people go dump their tires and they go dump their building waste. And, or let's say it's a business that has been empty for years and it's fallen in disrepair, and out and behind the alley, that's where everybody goes and dumps the stuff they don't want to pay to dump. And over the years, it's just become unsafe and unkempt and an eyesore. And the part of the grant is that there is no one that is able to be held responsible to clean up the land. That is how that grant is supposed to be implemented. And yes, the state of Ohio is taking a look at that one also. So you know, the grant that was used isn't even for the purpose that it was supposed to be used
you
for.
You know, I have a question because, you know, I have not delved all that deep into this, but some questions that I have that I don't really understand. Okay, now this is on behalf of the state of the Mr. Logan who passed away very young. Very unfortunate.
And very unexpectedly, yes.
Very unexpected. I believe it was at a basketball game. Not all that long ago. Okay.
I think it's been about 2 years.
2 years. Yeah, not, you know.
He passed away. He did not have a will.
Okay.
He was married. However, just because you're married to someone, this is another lesson, just because you're married to someone doesn't make you automatically entitled to their belongings. So, they didn't even file the estate until last fall.
Okay.
So the land still shows in his name. So that's a whole different, whole nother story.
Well, but if he was married, I mean, who's running Logan Tire now?
The family has taken a split off. I believe it was his uncle, a man named Ben Logan, came up here and ran the business after his passing. And now there is a guy named Danny Logan, I think, running it, is what I've been told.
Well, how
but
were
the
they?
The land across the street is completely separate. The way I found out about the tire grant was because the guy from Logan Tire got a hold of me and said they're trying to bill me for cleaning up their tires. And I got to look and know we used a grant to do it.
Yeah, but my question is how were they able to get through all the question of who owned Logan Tire and who owned that land so quickly if they can't get across the land across the street?
Don't know.
Because I don't understand that. Because they keep saying the estate of, as if there's nobody else involved. Well, somebody's going to get that
Marcy
money.
Logan's signature is on the application to the city of Marion. They don't want to say Marcy Logan because I have emails where Sean Barr says, Marcy Logan is a close friend of mine, and I was a friend of Kurt's my entire life up until his passing. I have those emails from Councilman Sean Barr from his city council email.
Right, but
that's why they will not say her name out loud.
Right, but I believe that even if Sean recused himself, which is all he'd have to do here, from this vote, I still think it would probably pass in the end after three readings
sure, and it should after three readings. But you know, I'm going back through other annexation stuff that we've done in the past, and National Lime and Stone was brought to my attention this morning. I went through three readings, and there were all kinds of concessions made to people in the county. People in the county got paid.
Well, it seems as if they're headed to three readings. But what I don't understand is somebody's got to own that land, or you couldn't sell it. I mean, am I wrong here?
It's Sean Barr's friend is who owns the land. So,
but not the deceased
not
gentleman.
That. Well, if you look up the property records, it still says that it's in his name. It's not even in the
right. But who's going to get the check?
Or her, Marcy Logan.
Okay, so then there really is no question of who owns this
the land and who should have kicked up the $26,000 to clean up the tires. No, there's no question.
Well, I think people should take that up with the health department on why they were willing to do that. If she owns the land. But
why weren't they willing to do that for us 5 years ago when the mosquitoes were an issue, Scott?
Well, I mean,
because somebody was alive and responsible for the land. Somebody owns the land right now. Their attorney is sitting in city council last night.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Why aren't they responsible to clean up the tires?
Who is retained Mr. McGinnis?
Marcy Logan.
Okay. So again, we know who owns the land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is no question then who owns the land.
No.
Okay.
Well, in their minds, in the city of Marion's minds, no, there's not.
Okay.
Legally, that's up to them to decide. That's up to them to investigate. I've told them what I've told them. And you heard what McGinnis said. He said, when we get this land in our name and we're able to sell. He said that last night.
Right. He all I'm trying to get to the point is here, is clearly this has been settled either within the family or somewhere along the line. Or
someone has responsibility. Well, you couldn't ask for it. That's what they're trying to tell us. If we didn't own the land, we couldn't ask for it to be annexed. Okay, then why aren't you paying to have it cleaned up?
Right. So I guess my point is then, is that whoever owns this land, who's going to benefit from this sale, is the person who owns the land. Okay, if we know that, then what is the big concern? Because if the EPA comes in, which apparently they are going to have to do that study if the land is annexed, and they find that they can't build there, and the contingency agreement that Dollar General's got, and they back out, this person's going to be stuck with that land. And who's going to want to buy land that...
And do you think they're going to clean it up? Because let me tell you, EPA cleanups are outrageous.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Talking about by the cubic foot for EPA cleanups.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And now she's going to be hit with city taxes.
You don't pay. A city tax on your property isn't that big of a deal. County is the one that makes the money off your taxes. She'll get city school tax.
Right. Well, wasn't
she didn't have before.
Right. So, I guess my point is...
Going through our taxes is not a lot of money. I have an issue lot, but $40 a year.
Right, but what good is it going to do for her?
None.
Right. So, who wins it?
We will have contaminated land inside the city, and then because of who she knows, she'll get somebody to get another grant for her and clean that land up so we can put more taxpayer money into preparing somebody a big fat check in their pocket so we can dump this store into the middle of a neighborhood.
But do you think the members of council who were already wanted last night to get three readings just because they're unsure of this land would go along knowing that? I mean, I think it was Rollins last night who said he was not aware of why this grant was going down, and that was not something that was controlled by city council. And one of the reasons he's not happy with this is because he knows once this vote happens, city council is no longer involved.
Right, and they voted to annex potentially a piece of contaminated land. So
right.
Good for him. Kreider also said he's going to talk to the health department and see what this grant was about. So that'll be interesting when he hears what the grant was actually for.
Right. So I guess
that it was used to benefit somebody, a private entity. That's not how that grant was intended to be used.
Right. So I guess everybody here is kind of...
And now they're offering to get more grants. It slid out of Dichtel's mouth with the greatest of ease. We'll just get federal grants to clean it up. Well, what about cleaning up Tecumseh that's been that way for decades, for as long as I've lived?
Well,
Why can't we get that cleaned up? Because nobody has a friend that's trying to sell it?
Well, I can't imagine that anybody's going to come in, because the city of Marion has no money to pay for anything. I think it would be very hard to get somebody to come in to clean that up with a grant. I don't think the city's going to write a grant for somebody.
Speaking of a grant, our grant writer is gone. She quit.
Well, does anybody know why?
I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard she went to work at the same place as Mike Bodine.
Oh, well, there you go.
He recruited her.
But I guess...
That's a $10,000 waste of furniture, Scott. Don't forget about Furniture Gate. But yeah, back to grants.
Well, so why doesn't the mayor say that the grant writer's gone?
Because we don't want to talk about that. Didn't you notice how empty that box is?
Well, I noticed the box keeps getting emptier and emptier, but
I'm pretty sure I heard the assistant engineer is gone, too. That was the other half of the $10,000
well,
furniture.
Why does the auditor hardly ever show up?
I don't know. She doesn't have to.
It just gets weirder
does
and weirder.
She? I mean, she doesn't have to, does she?
I guess not.
I know people are think that I'm just ranting about this land down the street, but if you go back and look at any other annexation or any other zoning or anything else, this is so beyond the usual that it raises red flags.
Well, what
and
is
the only
the-
reason...
What is the falling out between Bodine and the mayor? Because they were buddy-buddy on his last night, but to take the grant writer and to leave that position open to, at a time when the city is in peril, and certainly the mayor knows that, why in the world would you do that? Why would you take the grant writer with you?
Well, maybe the writing was on the wall for the grant writer, because what grants are we going to be able to get? They won't have any match. So is it worth paying someone $65,000 a year plus benefits to sit upstairs and look for grants that we can't get?
But didn't the city create a position of grant writer, and hasn't everybody sat up there and said, this was actually one of the good things that was done, should have been done a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
Does any council person even know that the grant writer is no longer there? Is anybody advertising for a new grant writer?
They're not advertising for a new grant writer.
Well, maybe they should. If she's no longer there. Because everybody said that she had more than made her salary.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Who's writing
if
the
you
grants?
Don't have, if you don't have one, well, I think they're probably going to go back to the way it was done before, and the department heads write their own grants. I'm pretty sure that's the way it was done
before. So that position's just vacant, and we're not going to fill it?
I don't think we can afford to fill it.
Well, but if she had...
That's probably about an $80,000 a year savings.
Yeah, but I had not seen where that was a part of any plan. Has anybody...
What about the assistant engineer? Did you see him, his job being... His job isn't gone, but he's gone from it.
No, but I think that has been mentioned. I think that somewhere that's been mentioned. I think Kreider mentioned that last week in the interview I did with him. But the grant writer, that's a different story. Because everybody...
But she was also getting grants with match money. We don't have match money for anything. We're spending like we had money. We don't. We have to stop pretending that we have money now, and we have to start being real that we don't.
Well,
and we can't apply for grants that we don't have the match for.
Yes, I understand that, but I just don't understand why that would not be something that the mayor might even want to tout out there. That, listen, the grant writer has resigned. We're not going to fill that position.
She got poached.
Well, right, but how long does it take people to find out something? And
I've known that for a few days.
Yeah, but I mean, do we know for sure that she's not there?
Oh, she's gone. She's gone. That's 100%.
Okay.
Sure. What I'm not sure about is if she went to work with Bodine. That would be the speculation.
Right. So I guess my question is, why doesn't the mayor just stand up and say, we're not going to fill this position. This is going to be savings to the city. And I'm going to part of the plan. Here we go.
Yeah. She moved on. And like he did with Bodine. She moved on and did what was best for her. And we're going to miss her. But $80,000 savings. Cha-ching.
Now, let me see here. This is from one of our listeners.
$65,000, but I'm adding in taxes and benefits.
Well, here's from one of the listeners this morning. Shouldn't the proceeds from the property pay back whoever for the tire removal? That would clear up any favoritism of what's going on.
Seems easy, but the health department would have to collect it because they're the ones that paid it. So city council can't do anything about that.
No, but I guess, okay, when the mayor came in, he created the grant writer position, he created budget director, and those were the two that he got, and he wanted to create another one, but that never went through. Okay, with Bodine gone, and that position being put together again, that covers...
$90,000 a year savings from that.
So that covers the grant, or the budget director. And we lost the grant writer. So there are less people now in this administration than there were when it started.
Bravo. Cutting at the top.
Right. So
whether through attrition or whether through resignations or terminations, they're getting rid of them.
Well, shouldn't city council be informed of this, though, I guess, or have they been informed and they just, okay.
I don't know. It's a good possibility. They don't feel any need to report to us.
The auditor was on display forever, and so was the treasurer. I haven't heard any questions in a city council meeting asked of the auditor and treasurer since the new auditor and treasurer came in.
Isn't it glorious?
Yeah, but
it's just amazing. All our financial woes are solved.
And has anything been reconciled? Is anything better than it once was?
that the last committee meeting, the treasurer was, or the auditor was there, and she said that the reconciliation should have been completed at the end of last week. So I do plan on showing up at a committee meeting Monday to ask if those things have been done.
It's all very strange. And, you know, there wasn't even anybody from the auditor's office there last night.
Mm-mm, no representation at all.
None.
From auditors.
And nobody has any questions for them. You know, again, I think this is the problem with council right now. Now, it's fine for the citizens to ask questions. Again, I am not against that. But what baffles me is that council, Thad Smith, asks more questions than anybody else. And I don't understand why council is not asking questions. Nobody said last night, hey, what's the update on the state plan? You thought you would have something last week. Nobody asked that question. Simple question. Nobody said, where's the grant writer? Nobody said, why isn't the auditor attending meetings with the position the state has been in? You know, do people just know? Nobody's asked Twyla. Has she taken the training that they wanted Tommy Reese to take?
Has she done the reconciliations? That's what they were all over him about forever.
I mean, maybe they have. And maybe they have. But nobody asks. Nobody says anything.
Makes meetings go a lot faster, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But, I mean, was this all personality conflict? You know, nobody said last night, were the books reconciled for 22 last week like they were supposed to be? Now, if that had been Miranda, well, of course, there was nobody there to answer the question.
Right. Who are you going to ask when there's no one there?
So.
But somebody would have said, I can see that no one's here from the auditor's office tonight because I was going to ask if she had reconciled the books yet.
Well, it's just amazing
to
me.
That would have been pointed out if Miranda had not been there.
Well,
I can see the auditor isn't here again.
Well, and Miss Lumpke got up at the end, and that's how we got the answer about the 4th Ward Council seat. Now, apparently that had all been decided. Who was going to announce that to the citizens, that they have an opportunity, devoid of their political party now, to apply for this position?
Well, they were hoping to keep that quiet so they didn't get a bunch of applications so they could go up there and just say anyone's name again.
That's the
Krista
problem.
Krista Halloran, I hope you're running.
Yeah, but
I hope you put your resume in.
But see, that's the problem that people have a problem with. That's the stuff that people don't
like. We are left out of our own lives.
Well, it's just, I don't know if it's, I really don't think that they're doing it on purpose. I think what's happening is...
How many times do we have to ask, or now we're actually to the point of telling them, how many times do we have to ask to be included in these decisions?
Yeah, but Mark Russell knew. I mean, I don't think Mark Russell was trying to...
I'm sorry, I have written enough complaints to the state of Ohio at Mark Russell that I have challenged him on his legal opinions that I would not pay him to be my attorney. If I needed an attorney, I would wing it in court by myself, depending on how serious the issue was before I got Mark Russell to represent me. We need a new city attorney worse than we need a new police chief.
Well, he's elected.
He is. Yeah, well, nobody ever runs against him.
They can.
Yeah, they can. But who wants to do that job for that low pay?
I don't know.
He needs to retire. He needs to step aside, Mark Russell. Somebody needs to write some more complaints about you.
Well, all I know is I think that's a problem with the whole decorum, which apparently will be brought up again next week. I think this is where
we... If he had good sense, Scott, he would take them aside and tell them, you guys might want to stop talk about what you're talking to these people and realize that we are going to court in a month, and you are telling people to stop talking. We are going to court for this exact reason, and you are continuing to build a consistent record. A good attorney would give them that advice. My attorney gives me advice.
You know what I thought about last night? This is going to be a long hop, but Saturday night, you know, we had the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and somebody got in with a gun in the lobby of the hotel, and obviously that's not a good situation. Thank God nobody was killed. But, you know, people, when that was over, it's turn down the rhetoric. This is why people are doing the things they're doing. Okay, now last night I heard the mayor say that he feels attacked sometimes when he's there, you know, and I think a lot of people feel that way. I think citizens feel that way. I think people in the box feel that way. I think council people feel that way.
Some of us are being paid to be there and some of us are not. they signed up for that job. And you know what? That's that Mount Vernon project training that I keep referring to. It's written by a Republican, by Dave Yost. He put it together, but it addresses their little sensitive feelings in there. And if they needed a safe space to work in, then they probably shouldn't have ran for public office.
Well, that's true, but I guess what I'm saying is I think what is happening, because it is true, and I hate to sound like a broken record, there were two men years ago that were far worse than anybody is being now. And they used to chat, just ask people like Josh Daniels and Mayor Schertzer and that whole group. I mean, they were rough. And you know what? There was never a discussion about decorum, and there was never the bounce back from counsel to those men. I mean, it got heated sometimes, but not as often as it does now. And you know, I can't understand. Have personalities changed? I mean, what has happened to where now the slightest thing irritates people so bad that they snap back?
Danny Clark spent half of his meeting turned around looking at Mary Stoneburner trying to get her to gavel people. Watch the video.
I just don't know.
It's like, seriously, if y'all are that sensitive, first off, you don't have any business representing the second, third, or fourth wards, okay? If y'all are that lighthearted. And if you're an at-large councilman, you need to take second, third, and fourth wards into account when you're representing everybody. Because, as Phil said last night, we don't dress like you, we don't talk like you, we don't think like you, but it doesn't mean we're stupid.
You know something interesting?
Bill Dichtel was a teacher, and I feel like he thinks he needs to get up there and school people about what's good for him, but no, I don't need you to tell me about my life.
Well, here's
the
thing.
You don't live it, you don't know it, hard enough to know what's good for us.
Well, I don't know if you play or listen to the interview I did with Jack Kellogg last week, but something that sticks out in my mind is Jack Kellogg said he grew up on the west side of town. He, you know, that's where he came from. He understood what it was like to live on the West End. And he also said when he became mayor, and he said people got angry at him about this, his own staff. He said, if I am not in a meeting and somebody wants to see the mayor, no matter how angry they are, you send them in. Now, that's what our mayor used to be.
Now, Bill Collins, you get up there and you tell the truth and you bring documents and you point out shady deals and he'll stand up and call you a liar. He will send out emails and call you names and try to recruit posses to come and speak at city council against you. He will talk about how he feels attacked, how he feels intimidated. He is the former chief of police, and he is afraid of some citizens with a notebook. Come on now. Really?
I'm just saying.
I mean, really?
It was stark to me to hear Jack Kellogg. And this is not the dark ages, by the way. Jack Kellogg didn't leave office till 2007. So, you know, these are not the dark ages. And that's how it used to be. If I want to see the mayor, even if I am hot as could be, as long as he's not in a meeting, I'm going to be able to do that.
Do you ever remember Schertzer talking about how his feelings felt hurt?
No. I think he governed a different way.
I go back to the party of F your feelings. Remember when all those shirts, F your feelings, libtards, and all this other stuff? But they sure do have a bunch of sensitive folks sitting up there on Monday nights in Marion City Council.
Well, but I mean,
big, delicate buttons that are just, if the wind blows wrong, it'll push them.
You know, I bring this up all the time only because it's gotten so nasty. I mean, look at this 86 district race. This is not a Congress seat. This is not a Senate seat. This is not governor. This is not a statewide seat. And look at how nasty this has gotten. You know, here we are a week away, and this is one party fighting within themselves. This is a primary.
Yeah.
This is not even the main. And these people are spending money. They are calling each other some horrible things. And it's a $70,000 a year state rep position for union.
And those are our representatives. They're supposed to represent us in our interests.
Yeah, but why is that race particularly so ugly? The county commissioner race, honestly, has not been that ugly. It's been fairly okay.
Well, I think the ugliness, the 86th district is doing the heavy lifting. How do you compete with that ugliness?
Right, but what is driving... that race is uglier than any state race. I mean, what state race is uglier than that?
Well, I mean, we don't know all of the rep races and how that's going as far as that goes, but the Heather Hill thing was pretty juicy, and old Casey Putch, boy, he's an interesting fella.
Well, and what's this whole thing, again, I'm not saying Putch did this. Well, what about somebody posting on the Putch website? I contacted the Secretary of State LaRose's office. LaRose, they put his response up there asking if Vivek was able to run for office.
That's that birther stuff.
Well, it is, but I mean, are we back to that?
You know, when this country can move forward from this Groundhog Day of a nightmare that we've been living in since, what, 2012, when he rode down the escalator, I'll be so happy. I'll be so happy.
But here's the thing about it. Obama was a Democrat. Now, I'm not justifying what happened to him, but I always felt that was more of a party thing. The Republicans wanted to be back in power. Vivek Ramaswamy is a Republican. Again, this is a primary. I don't think the main between Ramaswamy and Acton, things like this will come up.
It will all have been dug up. I'm astounded that it seems to me that the MAGA thing is, at first I thought it was going to carry him through, now it's not going to help him, and the fact that he's not white seems to be the kiss of death, and I really didn't think that was going to come into play, but it is.
You know,
and
what?
That should speak a whole lot to the party that's not willing to elect somebody because of the color of their skin in 2026.
Well, I said
or
this.
Maybe to the people, not the party.
I said this a long time ago, 6-8 months ago, that when people put out news that is not really news, it's more agenda driven, that you get stuff like this. And that's what people are doing. You know, I was looking at this Rooster guy again last night because apparently he went up to Casey Putch in a video and asked him to say something. I forget what it was. It was something German, you know, basically playing that he might be an anti-Semite. You know, there's no information garnered from that video. Whatever the Rooster is doing, good for him. He's success. Good for him. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody's success, but I don't know what that does for people. Now, he tends to be more toward the liberal side. I don't see him asking Democrats a lot of questions like that. Okay, good for him. But then we have people on the conservative side doing the same thing. I mean,
I saw someone made a comment actually on one of my posts and we're talking about the assassination attempt, and I said I didn't believe it. I said I thought the first time that Trump went to a White House correspondents' dinner and there was another failed assassination attempt, I thought it was fake. And this person said something to the effect of, you know, the person's manifesto or whatever, and then he's the type of person that the leftists idolize or something to that effect. You know, like basically anybody that voted for a Democrat is pro-assassination. And I said, and everyone on the right is pro, I said the word kitty, but I said the actual word, kitty grabbing, warmongering 34-time felon. It's easy to paint everyone with a broad brushstroke, isn't it? You know,
well,
just because that's what's going on, though. So, you know, you've got, people are so polarized that they don't see anything but, if you're on the right, the left is your enemy, and if you're on the left, the right is your enemy, and then there's just a whole bunch of us in the middle, like, none of it, we're neither. What, you know, why are you hating on us because we have this one opinion? Either way.
You know, I said this before, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy got into some trouble not too long ago for having people who endorsed him who had some inappropriate relationships with
stop
women.
Stop chasing those endorsements, people.
Well, but, you know,
at least met them.
Right, but, you know, I mean...
Hey, our local sex offender running their Operation Mary Watchman page has endorsed Christy Neff and Tim Mooney. You think they want to be affiliated with the sex offender page?
I really don't keep up with that, so I did not realize they'd endorsed them.
Yes.
Now, didn't they endorse... Now, again, God forbid I'm wrong here. Didn't they endorse Weslin, too?
Yep.
Okay, so...
He got endorsed by the child molester page, too.
I mean, is...
I'm sorry, child sex offender page. Unlawful sexual conduct with a minor.
You know, I don't... But the person wasn't... Were they convicted for that?
They pled guilty.
They pled guilty.
Mm-hmm. They got 5 days in jail in protective custody. They also bragged about being a snitch for Dennis Potts, who was a detective at Marion County Sheriff's Office. So you do the math there. They accidentally unveiled a lot of their own secrets.
Well, have they, what are they
they're
doing?
They're trying to get it, okay. So Judge Davidson agreed to make that file secret, all right? Secret is not a category in the state of Ohio. There's expunged and there's sealed. We don't know why it was secret. I'm waiting on the file. The foreman guy, he went ahead and posted some of the records that I was waiting on the internet, where the judge says that it was secret. Somebody with a felony four got 5 days in jail to be spent in protective custody, and that felony four was unlawful sexual conduct with a minor, a sex crime, not sealable in the state of Ohio. And now this person is mad that that record is no longer secret.
Well, I mean, are they still operating over there?
I don't know. You're not allowed to be a convicted sex offender and have a Facebook page, so we'll just see what Facebook does about that after the report.
Oh. Well, what about the rest of the group?
Well, I don't know. Robert Landon was tagging himself. I went back as early as 2017 and talking about how he's been there since the beginning and he knows all the secrets and where all the skeletons lie and all the bodies are buried. So I don't know if he just was willing to look past the fact that the guy was a sex offender to use his page for reach, or if he didn't care that the guy was a sex offender and was fine with keeping it quiet.
You know, in a way, I mean,
if you're a journalist, you know, like these people are claiming to be, wouldn't you vet who you're running a Facebook page or a YouTube channel or whatever with? I mean, before you decided to put your name on something and do a live weekly broadcast, would you see who you were dealing with first?
Well, here's the thing. My guess is they probably didn't. And that's unfortunate for them because I don't think they should have to burden that because I don't think a lot of people knew this.
No, I don't think a lot of people did, but if I was repeatedly asked to post things on their Facebook page and I always declined, but I would have looked to see who I was dealing with first. And actually, the fact that I knew that Dennis Potts was associated with the group was the reason why I didn't want anything to do with it. But, yeah, I would have checked.
Well, like I said, it's unfortunate that that came down the way it did because, you know, I think...
When someone's reputation, when you're basing you're betting your reputation on someone else's platform, I'm going to check and see who you are first.
Well, I understand that. I just think it's unfortunate that whatever has happened over there has happened because, you know, I don't know...
I think it's funny. You say unfortunate, I say hilarious.
Well, you know, I don't like to see... bad things happen to people.
Listen, they should not have tried to do bad things to other people. This is a full round of karma, Spears, is what you're saying.
Well, they were not always the nicest to certain people, but I think that...
they left my names out of their mouth?
Well, I don't think that they should have... If you have that kind of thing going on, you probably should not... attack people to the degree that you are. Have we heard anything from these candidates who were endorsed by them? Because apparently Vivek has to walk the line when he gets endorsed by people like this.
Maybe you should send him are you going to have them on?
You know, I have sent requests to them, and I have not heard anything. Well, they still have time. I just sent the request recently.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll send a question and ask them. How do you, and then I'll post it publicly and we'll wait for their response.
So, but the three would be, just for clarity here, the three would be Mrs. Neff, Mooney, and Wesleyan. Those are the three, right?
I thought you meant those are the only three that are, I was like, Wesleyan's not running for commissioner.
No, yes, those are the three they've endorsed.
Those are the three that they've endorsed.
So, yes. Basically, we'll get the answers to what their feeling is on that endorsement, those three. Because I don't think it's fair to just... I mean, have they endorsed anybody else? Did they endorse anybody for governor or anything else?
Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to check on that.
Because I think it's unfair to isolate a race and say, oh, well, you know, how do you feel? every candidate they've endorsed, I think, would fall under that that line. But again, I don't think these candidates knew. I would highly doubt they did.
And again, that's why maybe these people should stop chasing these endorsements and check and verify who is offering to endorse them before they say yes. Like, I saw Wesleyan had one with, I don't even know who it was, but the guy was the equivalent of, like, the man who passed newspapers when she was 12 years old. I mean, he was literally in the community just an average person, which maybe that's what she was going after, but, you know, maybe, you know, you put something on there about average Joe endorsements. I don't know. I think the endorsement thing is overplayed.
Well, I think certain endorsements matter and certain endorsements don't, but I, you know, she's ambitious. You got to give her that. I mean, she's definitely ambitious, and
will we see her again if she loses?
I think she'll try to do something. I don't know if she'll try to do politics again. I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
She's become such a, The Republican Party does not like her for some reason, and I'm not sure what the inner workings of that are, but I think it dates back to something to do with the Tracy Richardson blow-up, and, you know, other than that, I don't know. I don't know if she can get in the good graces. Maybe she can.
A week left. Go vote, people. Early voting is going on until 7 o'clock, I think, this week.
One week from today.
1 week. Cinco de Mayo.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, well, it's an interesting conversation, but we're done for the day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Facts of life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in